about 3 years now since I moved home from college. I went to UNC Wilmington. It's on the coast of North Carolina. And I moved home for grad school. But so this spring, when I was asked to share my testimony, you know, it's hard because you think about all the things in your life that God has done. And, you know, how do you fit that all together? And so, you know, this morning, while I share my story, I think really what I want to share with you is more of an invitation, you know, to be thinking about your story and how God has been working in you and how he's working in you this weekend and right now in your seat, and how he will work in you in years to come. So, and that makes me also think about this podcast. I heard this woman, Christy Knopples. I listened to her podcast. It's called The Glorious and Mundane. It's so great. And one time she said, every day is about remembrance. And what she meant by that was that, you know, if you remember, if you sit down and remember all the things that God has done in your life, even just if you remember what he's done on the cross, that would lead us into a life of worship and just genuine, joyful worship. So that starts off with my 3 points, because what would be a Sunday morning without 3 points? Right? I mean, so I'm going to start my story. My 3 points are remember, return, and rest. So remembering my story, I was 15 when I came to know Jesus. I was at a Young Life camp with Beth Ann Leshaf. And, that week, so if you don't know what Young Life is, it's a youth outreach ministry for high school kids. And, like, young adults kind of walk along high school kids and really share the gospel with them just through living with them. And so Beth Ann walked alongside me that week at camp. I actually met her, like, at camp and didn't know her. And throughout that week, you know, just hearing about the gospel and seeing how Beth Ann loved me and cared for me, I knew that I was missing something. And that something was Jesus. Before I went to camp, growing up, I really struggled with body image and just self-confidence. I was really, I really struggled with liking myself. I just really had a hard time with that, and I always knew that I was missing something. I just felt it in my heart that just I had all these things, but something was missing. And so that week, when I heard about Jesus and his love for me, and I was just like, yes, this is it. Like, this is what I've been looking for. So I kind of really start my story there, because I think we all know that life after accepting Christ can get pretty messy and complicated, right? So throughout the rest of high school, I started to learn the rhythms and practices of being Christian. I had quiet times. I went to a good church. I was in small groups and had Christian mentors. And I read Christian books. The whole enchilada, and all the ingredients. And so then when I went to college, I thought, okay, you know, I'm going to start making the enchilada again. I got to get all the ingredients ready for my Christian life. And so I found Christian mentors, Christian books, I went to a good Bible-believing church, and I was involved in ministry. I started leading Young Life. And, you know, so I had the whole enchilada again. Right? Like, now I'm kind of hungry for Mexican food. If there's a taco place around here, just let me know afterwards. I had, like, kind of all the ingredients. But when I looked around in ministry and at church and even my small group when people would share, I just still felt like I was missing something. I just still felt like, you know, she's more spiritual than me. She has more people coming to her ministry than I do. Or she just has this joy to serve, and I don't feel that. Like, come on. Do I really have to feel that way? And so, just all these comparisons just kind of were seeping in to my life with Jesus. And honestly, if I could think about it, I really wasn't spending that much time with Jesus like we've been talking about this weekend. I've just really been making this Christian lifestyle and thought like there was life in that. So, and you know, I felt bad for thinking those things. Like, I would think, I would be bitter about girls, you know, who would get engaged, or I'd feel bitter about the girl who has more kids coming to her ministry or raising her hands at church, because I just wasn't feeling that way. And I felt embarrassed to share that with anyone. I felt embarrassed to share that with God, because I think growing up, you know, my mom used to tell me, like, I don't know if any of you can relate to this, but my mom would say, you know, like, you don't really need to pray about that. Like, you have to save your prayers. You know, you have to save your time with Jesus for something, like, more important. And so I kind of stuffed all that stuff down, all the comparison, and I would never share that with God. I just kind of kept it to myself and thought, well, you know, I'll just probably never, like, be that way. Like, I'll probably never be that joyful or, like, that good at ministry or whatever. I don't know if any of you have ever felt that way. But when I moved home from college, I started to do the whole enchilada thing again. I would get all the ingredients together. I made my former Young Life leader, Beth Ann, start a small group for all of my friends. Beth Ann, Thursday nights. And so I made her start a small group. I was doing my quiet times. I started coming to New Life. I met up with a mentor. And I surrounded myself with Christian friends. And I still was kind of like, okay, Lord, like, what's the deal? Like, why do I still feel like this way? You know, just kind of going through the motions. And so that's when I started to kind of think, you know, maybe this is just it. I'll do the lifestyle thing and I can do all the other things. You know, I can have, like, a boyfriend. I can just go out and do whatever I want. I started PEN in the fall. I was excited about that. I was getting my master's in counseling, and so I also had this good waitressing job that was making money, and it was there that I met this guy. I was like, oh, he's cute. And he's like winking at me. I'm like, wow, that's exciting. That's never happened before. So then I started dating him, and he wasn't a Christian, and so I started to think, like, maybe I could have it all. You know, I could do the Christian lifestyle thing, and then I could have all the other things that I've always wanted. I could have a boyfriend. I could have the body that I wanted. At that point, I was also, like, getting fit and, like, losing some weight, and I was like, oh, I look good. And, you know, and then, but I was still feeling like, I was adding all these things in, and I still felt like, oh, like, nothing's working. And so that summer, also, my grandmother passed away, who I was really close with. And so that kind of started the trail of things of, the trail of things to kind of go downward. My grandmother passed away. The guy left. He moved to Florida. Never spoke to me again. Which we're okay with now. And I started PEN, and all those comparing kind of things started to come up. Like, am I smart enough to be here? Is this really what God has called me to do? All those questions. And I just felt pretty lost, and I felt, like, kind of annoyed. Like, Lord, I, like, did all the things I was supposed to do. I was even starting to do ministry again with Young Life at PEN. And I was thinking, okay, like, I'm doing all the right things. Like, and all this stuff is happening. I don't understand. And so, thankfully, one day, I met with my mentor to catch up. And honestly, if I think about it, I just, not sorry. Like, I didn't feel bad. I just felt, like, annoyed at God. And because I was still comparing and just feeling like, I'll just never be good enough. And I knew I was broken, but like I said, I wasn't sorry. I was confused and frustrated. I knew there were things I shouldn't have done, but I also felt like I had done so much right. And even if they had wrong motivations, And even if it wasn't joyfully, it was still the right things to do. And so I told her all this, and she said to me, maybe you need to repent of your unrepentance. And I was like, wait, what? That's intense. Repent is an intense word. But really, it just needs to turn. So that was, I mean, you know, I'm turning to Jesus with my feelings of not wanting to turn to him. And so at that point, I think it was the first time I realized I could go to Jesus with anything and without some things. Right? I could go to Jesus with my hurts and frustrations, and I could go to him without my list of things that I've done that I thought were so good. This changed the way I approach him. Slowly I was becoming more open about how I really felt with Jesus. I became friends with Jesus instead of making him my life coach. Instead of reading the Bible as a self-help book, it became a conversation starter with Jesus instead of finding my life in the Christian lifestyle. I found freedom in Christ's presence and spending time with him and remembering him throughout my day. When you spend time with him, I love this quote. It's from Rebecca Lyons. She wrote this great book called, You Are Free. And she says, and I think about this when spending time with Jesus, I'm learning that when I have an audience of one, you always count. So when Jesus is your only one, he's your audience. You know, he's seeing you, and you count, and you matter. So the last 2 to 3 years have been trying, not just circumstantially, but in heart transformation kind of way. Last year at this time, I was working probably 65 hours a week, buying my cars most days. I was so busy and anxious. I was finishing grad school, and I had an internship and a part-time job, and I just always felt like I was running to the next thing. That's an interesting sound. I most days just felt like a race to my bed. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. But he was kind and reminded me that he fulfills his promises. And moving into this past summer, after I graduated, it was a really slow time where I wasn't doing much. And I didn't have much to offer. And Jesus met me there too. And at some points, this was actually harder than the busier times because I had to look inward at some parts of myself that were kind of hard to look at. Like, why was I so self-critical? And where did I really feel my confidence and security? This weekend has been all about spending time with Jesus and leaning into him, to his love, mercy, and friendship. And although I'm up here sharing my testimony to you, I feel like I'm relearning and learning this in every season. I'm remembering, returning like that repentance, and resting in the promise that Jesus meets us where we are all the time. And he's waiting for us to come to him to share everything and anything on our hearts. Like in John, when Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? He meets him where he is. After he betrays him. That's kind of how I felt. There's a verse in the Bible that speaks to this remembering, returning, and resting. And Sandy, you talked a little bit about it yesterday. It's from Isaiah 30. And it says, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength. The Lord waits to be gracious to you. The Lord longs to be compassionate towards you. This reminds me again and again that Jesus waits for us. He longs to show us compassion and mercy, especially in those times when, you know, those times when we have so much to say to him, and those times with him where we don't even know where to start. He's waiting with compassion and mercy. And then also, we go to him in rest and quiet. We don't have to bring anything. We just bring ourselves. and we can tell him everything. He knows it all. He knows our every thought, like we talked about today in Psalm 139. Surely we can bring it before him. He already knows it all. He waits for us lovingly to show us compassion and empathy. All we have to do is remember and return and rest. In returning and rest, you shall be safe. In quietness and trust shall be your strength. The Lord waits to be gracious to you. The Lord longs to be compassionate towards you. And so, in closing, I just want to share this quote with you. It's from Abiding in Christ by Andrew Murray. And it says, "Wandering one, as it was Jesus who drew you when he said come, so it is Jesus who keeps you when he says abide." So it's nothing of our own strength. It's all of him. And all we have to do is just come. And in coming to him, I think we learn that the greatest gift that he can give us. You know, I think we're always looking for those blessings sometimes. Like we sang the first night, you know, I want the healing more than the healer. I want the gift more than the giving. Or I want the giving more than the giver. And so really, when we go to him and spend time with him, the greatest gift he's giving us is himself. And that's what we need more of. That's what I need. So thank you so much for listening. It's just been such a great weekend to spend with you all. And yeah, I think that's all I have for you today.